the bill through the House. Now it's simply a question of when the vote will be taking place. The president has been urging Republicans to stay united and to pass the bill. It's opposed by Democrats. The bill, among other things, would extend the Trump tax cuts, while it would also block a major tax increase. America's employers added 147,000 jobs last month. That was a surprisingly strong employment report. The June unemployment rate came in at 4.1%. And on Wall Street, stocks are higher. The Dow's up 309 points, NASDAQ ahead 192. This is SRN News.
Don't miss the Independence Day celebration at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 6th, beginning at 10 a.m. You'll hear a great message from the Word of God, along with the Redemption Call Trio and Concert. Barbecue will be served after the services for a small donation. The Independence Day celebration at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I was waiting for our signal for the introduction to and the announcement of our special barbecue and Independence Day celebration Sunday. So since our technician did not get that up, I will announce it myself. So you're invited at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to join us for a special Independence Day celebration. We have the Redemption Call Trio that will be in concert. There will be a message from the pulpit about Independence Day, our liberties that we have in Christ, and what we have in our nation. Immediately following that, we'll have a barbecue lunch back in the lunchroom at the church. We're at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. Looking forward to having you joining us at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning as we celebrate Independence Day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue that I believe should be on the hearts and the minds of every Christian, conservative, and patriot in particular. When I think of July the 4th, what do you think of? I'm looking at an article written by a Christian attorney, a constitutional attorney, that says, when I think of America, I think of a land birthed in liberty. Liberty not only to speak and assemble, but liberty to worship the Lord without fear of government interference. Our founding fathers were not perfect men, but they understood a perfect truth, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Chief among these is the right to worship freely. Secondly, he says in this article, we see government today, governmental officials, who treat churches unequally. We see Christians told to remove scripture verses from their workspaces, students barred from bringing their Bibles to school, and ministries targeted for holding the Bible and biblical truth. This is not America that our founding fathers envisioned for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'll take your calls in just a moment. Dr. Phelps, what say you As I read that article, it brings to mind that right at this very moment, though we have a president that's seeking to preserve our liberties and our freedoms, we still are finding major, major, major flaws with the attempts to undermine and destroy the liberties that we have, that our founding fathers, under the leadership of God through the Holy Spirit, gave us. How should we then live? What should we do? What are your thoughts on that?
One of the great problems I'm seeing today is in our society, a society that has rejected the truth. Many people do not know the truth, and many of these people who are speaking out in favor of socialism and communism are people who perhaps were not born in our country.
That's right.
They do not appreciate the freedoms that we have. And many of them have a philosophy that's so contrary to our biblical faith and heritage in America that they should not even be considered as candidates for public office.
Hey, I'll second that.
we have many things that are destructing in their philosophy, destructive in their aims and goals. Many people refuse to honor God or even recognize or acknowledge God. And our country could fast become one that forgets God. We have many people in our country who reject the Bible. And that, of course, will lead to lack of truth and wisdom and discernment on the part of many citizens in our country today. We have two groups of people in our society, I'm sure in all societies, those who are willing to receive and honor the scriptures and believe God, and those who refuse to receive the truth, and therefore they are going to be in darkness, they're going to be in delusion, and without wisdom, even to even think about being a leader in any nation, even, as well as in America. Many people want to revise our Constitution, but that's the foundation of government being destroyed, being lost. We need to have a mentality of saving our constitutional republic. There's nothing like it on the face of the earth.
That's right.
And so, well, we need to think about this and consider Americans. Let's reconsider here. We need people in public office who will honor our Constitution, who will respect the heritage that we have as a Christian nation. But many are repudiating our American heritage, and actually they will be losing the identity as Americans today. Many rebel against moral virtue. That will only lead to perversion, which we have already seen much of in our country. And so many people do not realize it, but if they change things as they want to and bring about destructive movements in our country and the destruction of America, why, what will happen to our freedoms? We'll be in bondage. We don't even know what we have, it seems. Many people do not realize what we have, which has been called the American dream. Many people around the world would love to have the freedoms that we have here in America. Let's not be robbing America of what we have to the glory of God. Let's not lose life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Amen. You said that, and I'll make this footnote, and then we'll take our callers. But in England today, there's no freedom. In fact, people are being prosecuted, persecuted, put in prison in England today that are Christians because they will stand up and say that Islam is dangerous, that Islam is destructive, that Islam ought not to be in control in our nations. And as a result of that, they're being persecuted and prosecuted. We have the liberty today, the freedoms today. But if we do not recognize that, embrace it, and protect it, we will lose it. and as we lose it, it will never be regained. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. My view of America, as I look at it, is that America made a mistake of playing with a monster like a baby hippopotamus, and it has grown and developed to the point now where it's ready to devour, and we are at the verge, we are in trouble. Our main problem right now, at the heart of our problem to me, is pride, covetousness, and greed. We have people in America who have sold out the future of this country. And the powers of darkness now that we have given place to, the church being silent, and so on, is now become, is desperate. And is, as it were, I like this thought, being prepared to burn down the house and rule over the ash. So God help us at this time. We can only pray that the church believers will wake up and realize the reproof that God is giving us under Donald Trump, and the kind of support and help that Donald Trump should be getting from believers at this time to see if we can claim or reclaim our freedom. It's not there. We need to thank God for those who are paying attention and those who are praying and crying out to God, because we have proven, we know He's a prayer-hearing God and He's merciful. And if we cry out to Him, He will do things for His children. Praise God. Thank you very much. God
bless you. Absolutely. Lily, thank you so much for that succinct statement. And that's where we ought to be today as we celebrate July the 4th, Independence Day. We need to do so praising the Lord for the freedom we have, thanking Him for the liberty He's given us, and asking Him to give wisdom and insight to those that lead us, that our liberties might be preserved for the future generations coming after us. I believe Davis is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I have a lot to be thankful for. First of all, for the language that God gave us, the people of the United States and other countries that speak English, He gave us 26 letters in our alphabet. 26 is associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you thank God, there's 8 letters in that, and that's a new man. If you say 250 years, there's 20 letters in that, and that is redemption. And you go to Romans 3 and Romans 8, and you can see where we have been replaced as the light of the world from the Jewish people to the Gentiles. And let's don't forget that. We need to let our light shine, or we'll be like Israel. He's going to dampen this light one day.
Brother, you're exactly right. The Lord Jesus said that we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, and if we let the salt lose its savor, it is good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot. We do not have light for it to go in a closet or under the bed. We need to shine. And so I pray that, Davis, as you're saying, that for our listeners today, we'll recognize the liberty that we have, and it was given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through our founding fathers. And I don't buy this stuff with so many people talking about our founding fathers were deists, and they were atheists or agnostics, and they were not Christians. I've not found any evidence, any place, with anything that I've read, except maybe one that might not have been what you'd call a Christian, but he was a God-fearer. And therefore, we have a document, the Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, all that is found therein in the Constitution, that comes from the framers' pen that was given to them by Holy God. And so I'm thankful for that. And I pray that our listeners will understand it. Keep looking up, and God bless you, and thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. Santiago, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Jumbo. Nice 4th of July tomorrow. I don't know why they have so many countries that they hate the United States. And the United States has been blessing to every single country in this world, and still they come, United States opened the hands to come to this country legally, and then they hate this country. They start protecting against the Constitution of the United States, and then they say, oh, we are back. Oh, we are the Republican. We are back. We hate Democrat. No, we hate crime. We don't hate nothing. Just we hate the crime that these people come to other country to destroy this country, to try to place the law of their own country. No, we have our own law. That's right. I went to the Marine Corps. I served this country. I'm proud to be a Marine and always a Marine and a Christian, too. God bless you, Dr.
Amen. God bless you for that, San Diego. Well stated. And I'm thankful for your service and thankful for your witness, your testimony for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read a brief portion of John Adams' letter about celebration of Independence Day. Here's what the headline says. John Adams wanted us to celebrate Independence Day. In a letter to his wife on the eve of July the 4th, 1776, he describes what he thinks this day should entail for future generations. John Adams wrote a remarkable letter to his beloved wife Abigail on July the 3rd, 1776. On the eve of what was to be Independence Day, Adams wrote, "I am apt to believe that Independence Day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the greatest anniversary festival." Adams went on to say exactly how he thought the day should be spent. Beginning as a man of faith, Adams says, "It ought to be, talking about now, ladies and gentlemen, how July the 4th ought to be viewed, revered, and celebrated. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Holy Almighty God. Furthermore," he continues, "it ought to be solemnized with pomp, parade, with showers, with shows, with games, sports, guns." I laugh because so many people are afraid of the guns today. Guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, for this time forward forevermore. Now, amen. If we wonder why we celebrate July the 4th, Independence Day, with fireworks, firecrackers, and with celebrations like that, it was the recommendation by John Adams that it be celebrated each and every anniversary forevermore. That's a pretty powerful statement as we make that. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I want us to recognize is that just as our Declaration of Independence, our founding documents, set us free in this nation, there's another freedom that surpasses the freedom that we have as we call it today, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, and that freedom is found in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just share a brief article that sets the stage, and then I want Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis to address it. Abraham Lincoln went to a slave auction one day and was appalled by what he saw. He was drawn to a young woman on the auction block. The bidding began. Lincoln bid until he purchased her. As one man in the group would bid, Lincoln would up the bid. He would up it. Lincoln would up the bid again. And he said, no matter the cost, after he paid the auctioneer, he walked over to the young woman and said, "You're free." "Free? What is that supposed to mean?" she asked. "It means you're free," Lincoln said. "Completely free? Does that mean I can do whatever I want to do?" "Yes," Lincoln said. "Free for to do to go wherever I want to go?" "Yes," he said. "Free to say whatever I want to say?" "Yes." "Does freedom mean asking with hope and hesitation that I can go wherever I want to go?" Lincoln said, "It's exactly that. You can go wherever you want to go. Say whatever you want to say. Do whatever you want to do." This article reads, "With tears of joy and gratitude welling up in her eyes, she said, 'Then I think I'll go with you.'" Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, he did so to set us free. Dr. Phelps, talk about that for a moment.
Jesus talked about that freedom that we have as Christians. He was talking with an audience that was made up of Pharisees who every opportunity they had, they could have, they would be critical of him and they would doubt him and they would even say words like we read in John 8:14 and following, verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. The religious Pharisees in Jesus' day refused to believe what Jesus would say. They refused to believe his testimony, though his testimony was always in truth and accurate and according to all the rest of the scriptures. And when he would say to them, then, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come, whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father which hath sent me. And Jesus then bore record to the truth. All that he said was truth. Then he went on to speak to them and to say, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then they would ask questions like, well, who are you? Mocking him. And Jesus would have to say the same that I've been, what I've been telling you, that who I am. At one place in this chapter, he said that he is the I am. I am the truth. I am the Almighty.
Amen.
And so there are two groups of people here, as I said earlier today. The one group were people who received and believed the truth, and they delighted to hear the truth. They were wanting to know the truth.
Absolutely.
And then there were the others who refused to receive and believe the truth, and they were like those who despised the truth. And some in our country today are like them.
Absolutely.
So we have those two groups today
and
in our midst. But he went on to say further, Dr. Youngblood, to them in John chapter 8, verse 31, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then there were some who said, free? We were never in bondage to any man. Why do you say that? And I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus said to them in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Absolutely. If a relationship with the Lord Jesus sets us free, I've used the term sets us free from sin, self, and Satan. Dr. Davis, what does it mean? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Does that mean that we're free to do whatever we want to do? I'm reminded of the story with the slave lady girl and Abraham Lincoln buying her and setting her free. She said, free to go wherever I want to go? And he said, yes. She said, well, I'll go with you because that's real freedom. If we say yes to Jesus Christ, we're free indeed, and we're to go with him with his way, his will, his work for our lives. Speak to that for a moment, Dr. Davis.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, that doesn't mean absolute freedom to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if we examine the Word of God closely, we have more freedom in his word than what we can stand to even enjoy. Mm-hmm. If we just learn how to live in alignment with his will, we are free to make the right choices based on his will. Mm-hmm. So if we are living in his will gives us a form of absolute freedom to live within the parameters of his word. Because we have to understand, he gave us his word to protect us.
Yes.
From the consequences of sin.
That's right.
Sin wasn't never, he didn't ever want that to be a part of man's environment. Mm-hmm. And not just your life, but your environment. It destroys everything. It's a total destroyer. Mm-hmm. So in order for you to enjoy biblical freedom the way that God designed for it to be for all mankind, we have to do it within the parameters of his word, yes, and remain in his will.
And when you made that statement, I thought of a number of years ago, we had a senior lady asked me a question. She said, you Baptists believe that you can get saved, live however you want to. Is that right? I said, yes, ma'am. And she paused for a minute. I said, you see, once we get saved, get a brand new want to. We want to serve him. We want to honor him. We want to live for him. We want to be pure at heart and thought and actions as he would have us to be. There's a vast difference in people saying, well, I'm free. I can burn a building down if I want to. I'm free. I can blow up police cars if I want to. I'm free. I can go into a riot and try to overthrow America if I want to. That is not freedom that we know in the scripture. Dr. Phelps read a moment ago in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty with which Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What does that mean, Dr. Phelps?
Well, in the context of John chapter 8, these people said, we were never in bondage, but they were in delusion. They were in the bondage of deception and delusion because they had the Roman soldiers walking around all the streets of their city. And many other things that I'd like to suggest just briefly. In their unbelief, they didn't realize this matter of the bondage aspect. They were in bondage to doubt, for example. Doubt began in the Garden of Eden. And they didn't believe the truth. You see, knowing the truth will make you free from the bondage of doubt. And I go on a little bit further. They denied that they were ever in bondage, as I said. But God gives us the truth to make us free from the bondage of denial.
That's right.
And we go on to say a little further, one other thing in verse 36. The Son of God shall make you free. How? By delivering us from the bondage of the dominion of sin.
Yes.
Most people do not realize that they're in bondage. And there's no freedom because they have refused the truth. Truth will make us free from the bondage of sin.
Absolutely.
Sin controls many people, and they do not realize what's happening because of the blindness of their eyes.
The reason Jesus told the disciples, you shall know the truth, talking about the truth of his word, and the truth shall make you free. Dr. Davis, got about a minute before our time is up today. Wrap us up on that with the thought of being free in Christ.
Well, let us realize, Dr. Youngblood, that the word of God is not a form or a version of truth. It is the truth.
That's right.
And if we learn to live within those parameters, listen, again, we can truly celebrate Independence Day for what God really set aside for it to be for us today. Now, again, many Christians and many people in the world still don't have a true knowledge and understanding of what the truth is based upon the word of God. So this is the reason why we see people living life all kind of ways, making all kind of decisions that is harmful to their lives, because they don't understand the truth.
Amen.
So we need to get back in the perimeters of the word
Amen.
Of God.
Well stated. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. And we wish for you and for your family to have a blessed, happy Independence Day. Looking forward to talking next time as we meet on the air to Let's Face the Issues. Thank you so much
you
for joining us.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road.